Thank you. What a glorious day it is to gather in the Lord's house, to worship and celebrate who He is and why He has called us. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning.
Amen. What a beautiful way to begin our time of worship this day. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us for worship on this first Sunday in the month of August. We look forward to how the Spirit is going to move in our house of worship this morning. If you are a first-time guest with us today, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I do want to ask you that if you fill out one of the visitors' card that's located in the pew in front of you, and then following the worship service, you can just simply drop it in the offering plate that's in the foyer as you leave the service this morning. For those that are watching us this morning online on Facebook Live, thank you. Welcome, and thank you for joining us online today for worship. Of course, you can always go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our time of worship this day, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time viewer online, we're glad that you found us for worship this day. I encourage you to send me an email. Let me follow up with you and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about this week. For those that are gathered here and those that are watching online this morning, I do want to remind you about the activities and ministries coming up in the life of our church, specifically starting this afternoon. To our ministry teams, we do have our church council meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock. That meeting will be in the Truth Seekers classroom. So all ministry teams, ministry team leaders, if you can be present for that meeting or have someone from your team present for that meeting at 4 o'clock, we would appreciate it. And then at 5 o'clock, for our entire church family. At 5, we have our Elon Roundtable meeting, which is our business meetings here at First Baptist. That'll be at 5 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall. I encourage all of you to come out for this time of meeting, because we do have a couple items that will be coming to a vote this afternoon. Those are printed in your bulletin, our ministry teams for the upcoming year, and our new deacons that'll be rotating on in just a couple weeks. So we do want to make sure we have the number of individuals we need present for that meeting so we can make that vote happen. There'll be other items that'll be coming up to be discussed as well this afternoon. But again, just mark your calendar this afternoon. Please be here at 5 o'clock for our roundtable meeting. As you look at our calendar for this week, things coming up this week, I have quite a few things. Starting with Tuesday morning, our senior adults will be going to breakfast at Angelina's Cafe at 9 a.m. And that's open and available to anybody who likes to come. Anybody who likes breakfast, come and join our group that meets on Tuesdays, this Tuesday for senior adult breakfast. Tuesday afternoon, we continue our ministry at the Golden Year Senior Center, our bingo and birthday ministry over there. That'll be at 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon. Of course, Wednesday is a choir practice at 6:30, and that's open to anybody who would like to sing and be a part of the choir. And then Thursday of this week will be our final session in our summer Bible study that's being virtual on Facebook Live, Counterfeit Christianity. That meeting, that time will be at 7:30 on Thursday night as we wrap up our study for the summer. Over the last couple weeks, you've heard that the Alamance Chamber of Commerce has been collecting school supplies for the classroom collection campaign. This is a collection they do every single year in preparation for the schools to start going back, our students to start entering the school system again. And I know it's hard to believe that you think, oh, wow, summer's, you know, it's August. That's kind of a scary thing. I was just talking to Wes Carroll, who'll be going off to college next week, and Samuel will be heading back to college in just a little over a week, and we're talking about that's kind of hard to believe that school's about to be back in session. And one of these things that our county does is try to prepare our students and our teachers for this time. And the Chamber of Commerce collects items throughout this time period to prepare our students. So if you have the opportunity and you have not already done so, pick up some school supplies this week and bring them by. The deadline is next Sunday. We have to have those items in next Sunday so we can deliver them to the Chamber of Commerce for this collection. You'll hear a little bit more about another collection we're doing during the month of August as well in just a few moments. And make sure you just keep an eye on the August newsletter. If you did not receive one, you can pick one up in the foyer this morning. It has lots of additional information and things coming up in this month in the life of our church, also in the months to come as well. So make sure you keep a note about things that are coming up this month through our August newsletter. Now we gather here to sing praise and to lift prayer to our Lord this morning. We come here to glorify Him. Let us do that in worship this morning.
Well, good morning. Our hymn of praise this morning is "We Will Glorify and Thou Art Worthy." Let's stand and worship together. may be seated.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 107, reading verses 1 through 9 and verse 43. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hands of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. As we gather here this day, may we consider the great love of the Lord as we sing, as we pray, and as we worship our Father. Let us pray this morning. Holy God, companion and guide, we would be lost without your direction, wanderers in wildernesses of our own making. We praise you for dealing so graciously with your people in the past when you guided them to freedom and promised them a new life. We are heirs of that promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Through him, you have established for us a permanent direction for our lives. And as we dwell in him this day, our lives are blessed with fruitfulness. Holy God, may this time of worship be a joyful response of praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, and for all that you will continue to do for us and all people through the power of the Holy Spirit. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Cornerstone. Let's stand and sing together.
My hope is filled on nothing. rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Maybe see it.
For our ministry highlight this morning, I want to focus on our August missions in gathering, which I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier in our announcement time. During the month of August, we will be collecting items for the Salvation Army food pantry. The Salvation Army of Alamance County, as many of you know, helps thousands of individuals and family across our county and across our region in a variety of different ways. And just one of the ways they do is through their food pantry. Items that are needed are listed in your bulletin this morning. They're also listed in your August newsletter. And if you have an opportunity to pick up some of these items that are listed there, like canned soup, peanut butter, canned chicken and tuna, pasta or noodles, and there's many more items listed there in your bulletin, you can drop them off during the month of August in our communication center or upstairs in our fellowship hall, and we will get those to the Salvation Army. Again, thank you in advance for your donations for this mission project, because I do know that they are running a little bit low right now at the Salvation Army food pantry. So again, thank you in advance for your generosity during the month of August as we collect items for them. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Mike Harrington for our offertory prayer.
Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this glorious day you have provided us. We thank you for your countless blessings you have bestowed on us, for the loving grace that guide our lives, and for the strength to face each day with courage and hope. Let our hearts be filled with humility and gratitude as we strive to walk in your light and share your love with others. At this time, we share back some of your bountiful gifts for the furtherance of your kingdom. Please bless the gift and the giver. We ask this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. When Gay asked me if I would sing, I had no idea that in between then and now, a good old-fashioned head cold would set in. So I have no idea exactly what's going to come out. So my prayer is that you would not listen to the frailty of the delivery, but instead listen to the words of the song that I believe can be applied to any of us. In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. But then I come into your presence, and all my questions become clear, And for this sacred moment, no doubt can interfere in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Through his love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answer in the hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe his name, for he will surely meet you there. In
Thank you, Brian, for our special music today. If you would, join me in prayer once again before we go to encounter God's word this morning. God of nations and Lord of all creation, you were there at the beginning of time and at our beginning, and you will be there at the ending and when we finally come home. There is no time you are not there, no place you are not present, and nothing that you cannot do. It's because you are strong and you are loving that we can turn over to you what drags us down. We ask that you heal our friends and loved ones who are ill or injured, recuperating or rehabilitating from surgery or sickness, whether physical, emotional, or mental. We also hold up to you those families who grieve, whether the loss is recent or lingering. Encourage them, comfort them, sustain them, and keep them from despair by the hope of eternal life that comes through faith in you. For those with loved ones who are away, whether it be serving in the military or those who are just simply away from their presence, we ask that you bring them comfort. For those that are serving in our armed forces, where there is unrest, division, and war, we ask that you bring peace and justice. Where there is poverty and despair, give food and water, clothing and shelter, and restore dignity and hope. Where children are abused, neglected, and mistreated, watch over them. Give them hope and give them kind adults who will show your love. Set the addicted free of the bondage that will otherwise destroy them and their families. For our nation, its leaders and legislators, judges and officials, we ask not just for your blessing, but that you will guide them, showing them what is good and right to do, and then give them the strength and courage to do it. For your church, make us a colony of heaven, a body of people who make your love, your joy, your hope, and your peace visible. Enable us to be both loving and truthful, gracious and holy, in such a way that others are drawn to you. All this and more we have not spoken aloud, we pray to you this day. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this first Sunday in the month of August. This morning I will be continuing the sermon series we began way back at the end of June, Experiencing a Summer of Promises. So far in our series, we have examined what it looks like to stand on the promises of God. From there, we have been looking at individual promises that can be found in Scripture: the promise of eternal life, the promise of answered prayer, and last week, the promise of peace, and how as we as followers of Christ can be assured of each of these promises while also living these promises out in our lives. This morning, we examine another promise that ties into each one of these promises that we've talked about before, and that is the promise of the presence of God. If I asked you this morning, what is your greatest fear? What would be your response? Think about that for a second. What is your greatest fear? Would it be something small that others might see as insignificant? Maybe spiders? Maybe snakes? Would it be something maybe a little bit larger? Maybe the fear of heights or the fear of drowning? Or maybe it's something larger than even that, the fear of being alone, the fear of losing a close loved one, or maybe even the fear of death. Now, it is not my intention this morning to begin my sermon by getting you swirling in the pews with anxiety and fear and to shut down on the important promise that we are going to examine in Scripture this morning. But I want everyone to understand that there are certain times in our lives. Maybe you're going through a time right now in your life where you are facing fear. And to say that you've never faced fear in your life, I'm sorry, you're not telling the truth. We've all faced fear at one time or another. Now, you may not be facing it right now, but I will hold to the fact that at some point in the future, you're going to face fear again. Maybe it's as a student and you walk into a classroom and you forgot that you were having that test and you go through a little bit of fear right there. Or maybe it's when you return home and your parents had told you you need to do this, 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 and this, and you forgot to do this, 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 and this. Then you're going to have a little bit of fear coming. Maybe it's about to venture off into a new world. Maybe it's about going off to college. Maybe your fear is retirement. Maybe it's about time to hang up those office keys and you're about to return home. And you might be thinking, yes! And then after day one and day two comes, you're like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? That's a little bit of a fear. Maybe it's the fear of jobs or the lack of jobs. Who knows what the fear might be? But we will face fear at one time or another. And God understands and He knows our fears. Last Sunday, we learned that the antidote to anxiety is the peace of God that only He can bring. Not an external peace, not a location that we seek, but an internal peace that exists in our soul, brought only from our Prince of Peace. What we will see in our focal verse today, and from the same book that we looked at last week, the book of Isaiah, and hopefully here in the sermon today, is that the solution to fear is that we carry the fear that we carry in our lives. The solution to this, daily or on a more frequent basis, is the presence of God. That's the antidote to fear. Here's the main point for my sermon today. So if there's anything else I want you to take home with you, it's simply this. The Lord will never leave those who belong to Him. Hear it again. The Lord will never leave those who belong to Him. Or, to put it a little bit more memorable way, because God is here, we should have no fear. And I think everybody can repeat that with me. Let's say that again together. Because God is here, we should have no fear. All right, say it again louder. Because God is here, we should have no fear. All right, I want you all to point at yourself because you're like, because God is here, we should have no fear. And there's my sermon. No, say it out. Because God is here, we should have no fear. All right, remember, I'm going to say it at the end of the sermon again. I promise you that. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. This morning, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 41. We're only going to look at one verse today, verse 10. And now, if you remember from last week, as we looked at Isaiah, Isaiah is the prophet to the nation of Israel prior to their fall to the Assyrians. Isaiah was, quote unquote, the throne room prophet, the one who spoke to the royal court and to the leaders of that country. So what words did God have for Isaiah to speak to the nation of Israel prior to their fall? God knew what was coming. God was telling Isaiah what was coming, and God was telling Isaiah to prepare the people for what was about to come. So reading Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 this morning, just the one verse, and the words will be displayed on the screen behind me. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In this one verse in Isaiah, we are given two commands to obey, two reasons to obey those commands, and three promises that God will keep. First, the two commands we are given to obey are simple and straightforward. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Now, God never gives us commands or obeys commands to follow without giving a reason behind it. It's never in Scripture. He doesn't simply give us something and tell us why or why not. Here are the reasons why. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. And as with any command, here comes the reasons. The reasons are, for I am with you. And for I am your God. Now, we don't need any more than that. We simply need just that. Why should we not fear? Why should we not be dismayed? Because God is with us and God is our God. That's enough. That's all we should require. But we are those stubborn humans. Yeah, you know, I'm talking about you and me. And every single one of us, we're a little stubborn. So he follows it up with three promises. Because if you follow these commands, and if you understand the reasons behind it, three promises will come from it. And it says this: if we do this, if we follow these commands, and if we follow the reasons why, and understand the reasons why, what will result from this is, I will strengthen you, I will help you, and finally, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, tell me today, if you are sitting here this morning and would not love to have those three promises in our lives from God. I will strengthen you. Who doesn't want to have strength from the one who created us and the one who created everything? I mean, that's something like, yes, please, and some more. And then he says, I will help you. Who doesn't want to have a God who wants to help us no matter what we might be going through? I mean, yes, please, and some more. And then thirdly, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When we don't think we can keep going, the God who created the world, the God who understands what we're going through, and the God who created each one of us says, guess what? I'm just going to lift you up. And I'm the one who created the world, and I'm going to lift you up when you need it. How many of us would say, no, that's okay, I got it. I've got it, I'll handle it myself. No. We're like, yes, and some more, please. These are the reasons. These are the reasons that we have no reason to fear. Now, through the prophet Isaiah, God tells us what we should not do. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. The context here is that God is promising to bring his people back from captivity. The crazy thing here is that Isaiah is writing about what will be happening about 180 years in the future. It's not about writing right then in that moment. He's preparing the nation 180 years in advance of what is going to happen to them. So it's not even the generation he's talking to, and not the next generation or the next generation. It's the next generation that he's preparing for. And he's saying, you're going to be okay. Because why? Because of all the promises I just said. Even before God's people sinned and were judged and were sent to Babylon for 70 years in exile, God is telling them that they will return and he will bless them once again. He's blessing them 170 years in advance for what they're going to do. Not what they've done, but what they're going to do. You know what that is? That's a gracious God. That's a gracious God. The book of Isaiah has been referred to as the Bible in miniature because it has 66 chapters and the Bible has 66 books in it. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah corresponds with the Old Testament as they speak of judgment, and like the Old Testament does. And then the final 27 chapters of Isaiah echo the New Testament's emphasis on grace and comfort and restoration. These chapters that we're looking at specifically in this area today were written to afflicted people who were filled with fear. Check out the opening verses in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. God still speaks tenderly to those going through trials, and he offers to the discouraged and dismayed, the hurting and the helpless, the same way he would speak to a child. God promises us his presence in order to free us from fear, whatever that fear might be. Maybe it's fear from things happening in our family. Maybe it's fear for things that are happening in our jobs or our lack of jobs. Maybe it's fear in the middle of our marriage messes, with our school stresses, with our health situations, with our friendships, with our finances, problems from the past, worries about our future, and everything else that falls in between. The word fear comes from the Latin word phobos, which initially had the meaning of flight or fleeing, to get away from. But instead of fleeing from our fears, Isaiah 41 tells us, no, we're not about running away from it. He gives us actually a 5-point formula to help face our fears in the middle of it. And that's what we're going to look at today. 5 points to how we can face fear today based on Isaiah 41:10, based on the responses that God gives to Isaiah to speak to Israel. And here is number one. The first thing that we can do is this, is that we can live without fear because God is with me. Notice that it does not say God was with me, or that it says he will be with me. It says he is with me. This could be translated as, there is nothing to fear because I am with you. It's been said that in the Bible, the phrase fear not, or do not be afraid, or be not afraid is found 365 times in the Bible. That's for one time for each day of the year. 365 times. You think that's a coincidence? I think not. Friends, in order to face your fears, the first thing to remember is that God is with you. Moses needed this reminder when he faced down the Pharaoh and when he needed encouragement as he guided his people across the wilderness. Psalm 23 reminds us, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. After Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples, he followed it up by saying, and surely I am with you always. When you are filled with fear, remember this truth and declare it out loud. I will have no fear because he is here. Repeat it with me. I will have no fear because he is here. Now, I'm literally, repeat it with me this morning. I will have no fear because he is here. We're going to do this a lot this morning, so you got to get on board, all right? Say it again. I will have no fear because he is here. You're getting better. Hopefully by the end of the sermon, I'll pass you from this class, or not, I may preach for another hour. You never know. If you are filled with fear today because of what I just said, that's okay because God is here. It may be because you're acting like, if you're fearing fear today, it may be because you feel like Jesus is not present. He's not making it evident in your life. But that's when we go to step number two in our formula. I will live without fear because God is with me. But the second part is, I will not be dismayed because he is my God. To be dismayed means to be broken. It means to be filled with fear. It literally means to look around anxiously as one does in a state of alarm. It means to open our eyes to the world and just automatically be overwhelmed by everything. Have you ever felt that way before? Have you ever woken up the first thing in the morning, instead of seeing the focus of God being present, instead you see the anxiety of the world? It's okay. It's okay. We've been there. I've been there. But what you notice is the key to not being dismayed is to make sure that he is your God. 1 Samuel 36 says that David was distressed because the men around them were talking about stoning him to death, but that changed when he found strength in the Lord his God. Instead of focusing on the men, he started focusing on him, and his life was changed. Is he your God this day? This promise becomes activated when you personalize your relationship with him by trusting in Jesus for forgiveness of sins. Can you say this day that he is your God? I am convinced if each of us would see God as big and grand as he really is, most of our fears would go away, because when we fear God, we will not fear other things. To expand your view of the Almighty, I want to encourage you to do a little homework this afternoon or this week. I want you to read chapters 40 and 41 from Isaiah this week as a little follow-up from the sermon today. And here's a little sampling of what you're going to read. Isaiah 40:10 and verse 15 says this, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust." That is how grand and great our God is. I live without fear because God is with me. I will not be dismayed because he is my God. These two promises give us confidence to make the next proclamation and the third step in our formula, which is, I will lean on God to strengthen me. And I want you to see this for a second. What does it mean to lean on God? Before we get to that point, let's look at Scripture. Corrie ten Boom once said this, in times of fear, I do not wrestle, I nestle. Think about that. In times of fear, I do not wrestle, instead I nestle. And she's talking about nestling into God. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Jesus does not break us when we are broken. He does not smash us when we are smoldering. Instead, he is our source of strength when we do not think we can keep going. Are you willing to lean on him for strength this day? More so than just saying it, but actually doing it. Because we'll say, oh yeah, I'm going to lean on God today, and then we do the exact opposite. We'll go and try to do it all by ourselves. And that's not what Scripture says. Instead of trying to carry the weight and the fear on your own, are you ready to lean on him? There's a song I still love the song, but you know, younger, everybody's heard the song Lean on Me, right? Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. Come on, sing with me. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. And you might be thinking, that's the first time I've ever heard David sing a solo in church. That'll be the last time too. That song obviously is talking with Brian's. Yes, here he goes. Yeah, 6:30 Wednesday. He's saying, yeah, all of y'all can come to choir now. Of course, that song is talking about leaning on someone else. But let's shift the focus of what Scripture actually says. It's not talking about leaning on other people. It's talking about leaning on God. So instead, the song should be saying, lean on me, lean on God every single day. When you're not strong, because we're not strong in comparison to who God is. And God is our friend. God is present with us. He never turns his back on us, no matter what's going on. And he will carry us with his righteous right hand. Because it won't be long, because we're going to need him again. And guess what? I hate to say it. He doesn't need us. We need him. But that's what this is all about. Now, this is just the first part of what we need to do in leaning on him. And the first part of this second section of our formula. And it closely ties into the fourth part of our formula, which is this. After we lean on God to strengthen us, we will trust God to help us no matter what's going on. God is always present. He promises his strength. He promises to help us. And now we have to place our trust in him that he will do so. It is one thing to lean on him or to say we're going to lean on him without fully leaning. Anybody ever done a trust fall before? Right? All right, I was going to actually do that up here this morning, but my vertigo is so backwards, I may fall the wrong way, so I'm not going to do it this morning. But, you know, when you do a trust fall, you're supposed to have that person behind you, right? Someone you trust, and you're supposed to put your arms back, you're supposed to close your eyes, you're going to say, falling, and the person's going to say, yep, falling, and then you fall back in their arms, just straight-legged, and, you know, like that. We were coming home from Carowinds with a youth group many, many years back. We stopped at Subway, which is unusual, but anyway, we stopped at Subway for dinner, and we were just sitting around the van eating that evening, and there was a wall, probably about the height of the pulpit here, and we had a decent group of youth and whatever. We had talked about some of the things we'd done that summer, and we decided we're going to do trust falls off the wall in the Subway parking lot. Now, I'm glad I can share this with you in the past, and that now that's a past story, and nothing happened, and everything was great. Well, everybody started doing the trust falls. We had enough people and everything was good. And then I said, well, what about me? Nobody wants to catch me. And then as soon as I said that, I looked at all the scrawny little youth I had down on the bottom, and I'm thinking, this may not go well, and I'm the only one who could drive. So I climbed up on that wall, and I said a little prayer as I started falling back. And I thought to myself, please, God, don't let me die. Sometimes that's the trust that we put in God. We fall, and we're saying to ourselves, please, God, don't let me die. Or, please, God, don't let this fear that's going on overwhelm me. But the truth is, we don't have to say that, because he never does. He's always there. He's present. He's always going to help us. Hebrews 13:6 says this, so we say with confidence, not with the little muttering in the back of our minds, but we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? We can put our full trust in him because he will never, never let us down. God will never unfriend us when we do something dumb. He will never leave us hanging when we are overwhelmed with stress. He will never abandon or forsake or dismiss us. He is the one we can put our full trust in. He promises to help us, and he always will. That's somebody. That's the someone we can put our trust in. But it doesn't end there. The fifth part of our formula is this. Finally, after we do these four things, we can believe that God will uphold us, uphold me with his righteous right hand. The word uphold means to hold up or to grasp or to support. The idea is similar to the word undergird, which means to make secure underneath. We are upheld by his righteous right hand. And this is his hand of promise. All the promises we've been talking about is the same hand we're talking about here. Psalm 145, 13 and 14 says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. He helps us and he holds us when we are shaking like a leaf in fear. Do you feel like you have failed? Do you wonder why you fall so many times? Well, hold on to the truth that he upholds you when you feel like you're barely holding on. Because if you're trying to do the holding, you're going to fail. But he never fails. He never fails. The Lord will never leave those who belong to him. Because God is here and we should have no fear. Repeat it with me. Because God is here, we should have no fear. God upholds the hurting, and he also reveals his presence through his people who reach out with his love. In closing this morning, if you are not in Christ this morning, you have not been made righteous, and you have every reason to be fearful. However, if you have answered his call and received him as your Savior this day, then the promise of his presence will be fulfilled in your life today. Fear not, because God is with you. He is your God. Fear not, because he will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you. To put it in a little bit different way, God is over you. God is by your side. God is inside of you. God is all around you, and God is underneath you, lifting you up. And for this reason, and for this reason alone, we need not fear anything. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your presence with us this day in this worship hour. But we can carry that promise with us as we leave today, knowing that as we go out as your followers, we carry your presence with us. And whether we're going out into a world in which we're overwhelmed with fears, may we know that you are the strength that we need to circle around. You are the strength that can lift us up in the midst of those fears. Father, whether that fear is residing in us today or whether that fear is down the road, it was 170 years for the nation of Israel, but he was preparing them already in advance. just like you're preparing us today, whatever it may be, we are thankful. We are thankful for your constant presence with us. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn and our invitation time, if you have not embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not experienced his presence in your life today, it starts there. That's where it begins. I'll be down front. Come down as we sing our closing hymn, and I'll embrace you as a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe you're seeking to find a church home that seeks to be a place that revels in the presence of God, but also carries that presence out into the world. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you as well. Or maybe you've just been struggling with fear, and that's okay. It's okay to struggle with fear, but we know with confidence this day that the God, our God, is going to be present with you. If you need someone to pray with you in the midst of that fear, I'll be down front. Our deacons will come down in front with you. You can leave it at the altar. The altar is always open. Somebody will meet you there. Whatever the need is today, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.
Precious Lord.
As we leave today, go out with the confidence that you carry his presence with you. Wherever you go, whatever you're facing, whether it be fear or whether it be joy, he is there with you. Share that with those you encounter this week. Go in peace.